Yeah, I have a couple, and so like maybe there's something you would want to sink your teeth into. First one is, so I work on the leadership team. So we're working with the CEO, COO, like director of product management, the VP of engineering, and then you have me. And so something that's been coming up, I've been here 2 years, is just the silos that people create, the lack of trust sometimes, lack of openness, and us trying to figure out what's causing this. And of course conversations have happened, of course feedback has been given, of course like we're trying to coach and mentor, we do our best to create a very safe space and make it very clear that hey, like we're here to help, this we want it to be a team. So we're a small team, so this has just been this ongoing challenge, like trying to understand like why leaders have those silos and may not bubble up their concerns to their peers and their leaders, their C-level leaders. So that's one thing. And that one touches on, like I said, the siloing, the communication, the trust. And then another big thing that's been happening is time to develop employees, and then but also making it a really thoughtful way to do that. So what do our one-on-ones look like? What are those thoughtful one-on-ones? How do we make sure people are giving and receiving feedback openly? And again, there are things in place, but it's not gaining the traction we want it to gain. We're not seeing it. So like people will ask, hey, do you have feedback? But oftentimes people are like, oh no, I don't have anything to share. But we know that's not true. We know that they're sitting with things, and why aren't they coming to leaders? So that's like in this developing employee category, because I see that as like how do leaders provide continual feedback and coaching to help the employees be better?
Yeah, those are two really good, different tricky cases that you have. Which one would you say you want to sink your teeth into if we could only do one today?
I would probably go with the first, the siloing the trust as leaders, because to me, I see that as like us laying the foundation. We lead by example. So then I think things will feel better for the rest of the team after that. So I really want our leadership team to always operate from a space of trust and like open, really open communication. Like I am lucky where I have these one-off really great relationships and people will come to me, but that's still part of the concern. Like, hey, why don't they go to me and the CEO and the COO? Like they don't want to get them involved, and we wonder why. So yeah, I think that could be good to dive into.
Let me hit you with some coaching questions if that
Yeah,
works for you.
sure.
So, with any coaching conversation, we always want to make sure what we're truly trying to solve. And so you sort of mentioned the pain here, but at the end of our conversation, what do you ultimately hope to walk away with?
I'd love to have like the idea around an exercise that I could maybe do with the group to open up some doors and build more trust amongst the leaders. I'd love to have my own set of really thoughtful like coaching questions to ask them. So, learning from you in this moment of like, okay, how do I open that door and be a source of coaching and support for them? So yeah, I'd love like an exercise, some questions, something that I can go back to the table with, and like the next meeting I have with the leadership team, use them.
Awesome. That's a really good goal and one that we can tackle in 20
Okay,
minutes.
good. Good.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So you want to exercise with a group to open doors, to build trust, and you'd love to walk away with some coaching questions, but when you find them still coming to you in one-on-ones, what can you ask them in those coaching questions? And this group, just frame for me, how large is this group?
The leadership team itself, we're only one, two, three, four, five people. So it's me, people ops, there's an engineering head, there's a product management head, our CEO, and our COO. We had some other people, they're no longer here. So it's five of us, and we meet for these bi-weekly leadership meetings. And those meetings are meant to be this time, where we talk about our concerns, we come to the table with questions. Hey guys, how can we tackle XYZ? Hey guys, what do you think about this? But it's actually funny, like that's not what happens. Like it almost is like we're quiet and like we're waiting for like our CEO to say something and lead the meeting. And it brings me back to what I'm saying, which is the concern. It's like I know there are things on their minds, and why aren't they feeling safe and comfortable talking about them over there?
And in this dynamic, who do you report to?
I report to my CEO, but I would say I'm like split between CEO, COO. Like our COO is a little newer. So I'm split between them. And then the head of product management, the head of engineering, they currently report to our CEO, but that could change and they could end up reporting to our COO. We're going through like this period right now of possibly doing some restructuring.
Okay. And tell me about the culture that the CEO sets for this organization. You're smiling. So.
Well, I love anything culture related. It makes me happy. Honestly, I'm very proud of the culture we have. So it's a challenge in my mind even further because my CEO really practices like psychological safety and room for, hey guys, nothing bad is going to happen if you ask me questions. Hey guys, you know, come to me if you need anything. I'm here to help. I'm here to support. And he's proven time and time again that when you do have a problem, he's open ears and he's really patient and kind throughout that process. The time where he gets upset, and I kind of understand, is when someone continues to silo something and doesn't bring it to the surface early on, because now the problem escalates and maybe let's say a client is unhappy or it's just become worse. And then of course the person's going to be asked, why didn't you bring this up to me 3 months ago? Why didn't you bring this up to me 6 months ago? And they usually, the answers are, I wasn't sure what to do. I thought I could handle it on my own. I didn't want to get you involved when it was unnecessary. However, we're really small. Like the whole organization is less than 80 people. And here in New York, we're just like 20, 25 people. So, you know, we sit in an open office space. Like there's a lot of openness. So our culture, from my perspective, from the surveys I've done, from talking to people, is that it is really warm and collaborative and fun. And our retention is high. So it's like I'm confused, right? Because on one hand, all of this sounds so good. And then I'm like, why do we have these problems still?
So you know, the way I was talking about coaching with folks is you have a symptom of pain. And, you know, if you were to walk into, you're in New York, so Duane Reade, if you're in Boston, CVS, if you walked into a drugstore because you have pain, you're going to go for the Advil, you're going to go for the Tylenol, you're going to go for the Aleve, but that might not be the thing you actually need.
Yeah.
Because you don't know why you have pain. You know, you misdiagnosed your own problem. And it's really hard when you're in the thick of it to diagnose your own challenges in a leadership team, especially in a scaling team. So a few quick hit questions. First off, you mentioned, hey guys, hey guys, hey guys. Is this a mostly male team?
No.
Okay.
It is me, female, and our head of product management, female, and then three men.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as far as leadership teams go, almost split. You have five, so you can't divide a person in half. But a 2-3. Have you done to date any behavioral diagnostic work with this group that helps you all see your different operating approaches?
No, and that's been something on my mind. Yeah. So when I asked about like an exercise, I was even thinking along those lines of like, how do we like really get to know each other a bit more personality wise?
Yeah. What's the tenure of this group?
Yeah. I've been here 2 years. Our CEO and COO, well, CEO has been like 7 years. The company has been around 7+. The COO has been here, I would say 5+. Same thing with our head of product management, like 5-6 years going. And then our VP of engineering, a little less, he's 3 years. So it's like three people at like 5+ years who've been here for a long time. They've seen the company change. They've been here through like if you have a very small company and growing. You have me, who's the newest, 2 years, and then our VP of engineering in the middle.
Okay. And if you were to sort of hazard a guesstimate, what would you say are the differing levels of growth mindset on this team?
I would say it's split. I would say me, the CEO and COO are very much growth oriented. And I would say the other two are like the product management head is like in between. And then like engineering is probably the least, like very comfortable, very like shows resistance when we ask a lot of questions, shows resistance and nervousness when we're like talking about future forward. We want to do this. We want to do that. So there's something there that I can't like fully put my finger on, but I feel some resistance. Yeah.
Resistance there. Okay. Yeah. And when folks, it sounds like folks come to you and talk things out, they don't bring it to the large meeting and they don't bring it in their one-on-ones with the CEO.
Yeah, that's sort of it. There's like, again, the VP of engineering, he sort of is he doesn't bring it to anyone. He doesn't bring anything up to anyone unless even me. But I have been much more forward in asking, so I've been getting a little bit more from him, mm-hmm. but still with a lot of hesitation. Like something he'll say often is, like he'll tell me, okay, yeah, I've been feeling this way, but then before I even say anything, he goes, but don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I'll handle it. This is normal. It's normal stress. It's normal. This is, I'm used to it. I'm a different generation. He says that because mm-hmm. I'm a different generation. So like, it's okay. And I'm like, it's not okay. I'm like, you can feel off. You can feel like okay. you can say no, things like that. And then you have, I'm forgetting where I was going with that thought, but with him, I feel like he doesn't come at all. And then you have people in between. Like the employees feel really comfortable coming to me, which is great, but they can also go to the C-level team, but they don't. So it's like a weird in between. And again, maybe personality in it, and yes, maybe even generational or something, because people work so differently and what their previous experiences are so different.
Yeah, and we carry with us what happened in our last role. We carry with us how we were learned, how we were raised to find our way through challenges.
Yep.
And so all of that, of course, we want to acknowledge the beauty of having diverse teams. But what you're asking is, how do you take this group, it's kind of operating, focusing this way, focusing out, and help you all turn inwards and collaborate better, share your challenges. When we get our challenges out on the table, we can be far more innovative.
Yeah.
Rather than spinning on our own or sweeping something under the rug. And it sounds like your CEO is very much a proactive, don't sweep it under the rug, bring it out into the open. Sounds like failure is acceptable as long as you are forthcoming about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I would even go so far as to say that, like, we're given a lot of trust from our C-level team, And mm-hmm. so it's like, it's this interesting cycle of you're given trust and the door's always open that we can go to them when we need help. But if the less and less we share with them, the more questions they ask, and then the trust goes away, then it becomes a micromanagement situation. And for me, I'm aware enough to know that, like, hey, that's what's causing the anxiety and trauma. So it's actually a vicious cycle, because then once the door's open of hey, I'm peering behind the curtain, the person gets more fearful and holds back more. So
yeah. So tell me, in these biweekly meetings, what's the objective of the meeting?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we have problems just in that space alone already. So we do this thing where we have a Trello board. So before the meeting, people can enter topics and questions they want to talk about, right? But what ends up happening often, like 9 out of 10 times, is like we go into the room, we sit, and it's like, hey guys, what should we talk about? Like no one's prepared. There's no proper agenda. And people have clearly given me feedback saying like they feel like it's time being wasted. So it's a mix of that. And then at the same time, if there is stuff on their mind, they're not saying it because they're quiet. So like, I don't know. But the way those meetings are run are maybe a bit too casual. Like it's like, we're just sitting at a table hanging out and being like, hey, so what's on the plate? What's going on? Like, you guys want to talk about anything? Maybe we'll pull up the Trello board, see if anybody entered anything, and we'll tackle it by that. And then we'll get into discussions. But the goal of that meeting should be decision-making, high-level decision-making, problem-solving, and I think like bonding for us. So it should hit a few marks. It should be fun. It should be mm-hmm. that we make time for getting to know each other. It should be, again, anything big picture that affects the company you're bringing to the surface and you're saying like, how do we resolve this? And it should be like a really, again, open decision-making way.
So I heard a lot of objectives there mm-hmm. that aren't fully baked.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like that in itself mm-hmm. is an activity you need to scope with the group is what are our objectives when we come together?
Yeah.
I heard camaraderie in there. Yeah. And camaraderie, what is your definition of camaraderie?
Oh, that's good. teamwork, bonding. Like I see camaraderie as like those moments where like we have each other's back, we're laughing. It can be emotional, it can be tough, but it's like you feel like you're sort of with a team. It's a team oriented thing.
Yeah. So camaraderie is something you feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you do to people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it is an outcome of having quality meetings, quality gatherings, quality engagements.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
So it sounds like there are a number of objectives you're trying to reach, and you need some different modalities to accomplish them. Mm-hmm. You know, going and getting a cocktail with this group, that's going to be one form of camaraderie and a time where it's totally appropriate to sit down and chat about favorite outside of work pastimes and some of those things that are really important to trust building. Do I know you?
Right.
Totally. Do I get who you are? Can I actually understand what your alternative motives are? Because I actually know who you are.
Yep.
As opposed to trying to shoehorn it in during tough moments, you know, disagreeing is really important for an executive group.
Yep. I think that's key right there. Like I want disagreement to feel healthy and accepted amongst this team. And I don't think it is.
Okay. So, you know, at the start of our conversation, I contracted with you. Mm-hmm. And I, as a coach, am on a mission to get everyone to understand the concept of contracting. Yeah, there's like DocuSign contracting, and then there's engaging with another human contracting. What are we here to solve? This conversation is all about you. Mm-hmm. You brought a challenge. We contracted on exactly what you wanted to move forward on in this challenge. And I've got it written down here on post-it note. You want an exercise with your group to open doors and build trust and some coaching questions to ask them. With this meeting, you need to contract with them and figure out if you're going to keep meeting bi-weekly, does everyone know why you're meeting bi-weekly and what are the objectives and how would you measure if these objectives were reached? Mm-hmm. You know, sounds like what this meeting is and what this meeting is not. And whatever this meeting is not, what else do you need to put in place to make sure that needs are met that can't be met in this meeting?
Yeah.
So we have a few minutes left. What are you learning from our conversation?
A couple of things. First, that I think it's really important to very clearly outline, you know, purposes, objectives. I think we have to rework that meeting and make our, like, you know, the agenda, the objectives very clear. I think doing some more work around personalities and how we can honor them, because even the way I ask questions can work for one person and not the other. And so, like, I haven't done the work to, like, figure that out yet.
Yeah, get to know what they need.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. Like, get to know what they need, what works for them, what their communication, preferred communication style is, like, et cetera. And again, the trust thing, I think all of these things will help build trust if we do them. So I think that can solve it itself to an extent, because if you show people that you're devoting time and getting to know who they are, and not making it like scary, that, you know, they'll feel at ease. So yeah, I have a different, like, I'm getting some, you know, good thought questions in my mind from this.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad you joined today.
Yes, like.